The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
So we'll see what happens. Now, I'm excited about this morning, too, because, I guess excited's not really the word. I'm pumped about sharing with you this morning, but the topic we're going to talk about this morning is not super exciting, at least not for some of us to kind of have to wade through some of the things that God wants us to look at this morning. But I know it's healthy for us and it's good for us. And as always, God's going to speak to us. And so for that reason, I am excited. So my message title this morning is Pretzel Love. Some of you saw the picture on Facebook and were just like, what the heck is going on? What's this all about? I imagine that this couple was like, let's just do this beautiful romantic picture, you know, we'll be in a nice meadow somewhere and just kind of, you know, I don't know where the giant soft pretzel came from, but for some reason, apparently that was just, you know, maybe that was just a prop, okay? And the photographer was like, hey, this will look great, bite into this plastic pretzel and everybody will love it. But anyway, so it is awkward, very awkward. So you're probably wondering, well, so what the heck can we get out of this whole idea of pretzel love? And I'm going to break that down for you because I don't want you to be confused for too long. So here's the thing. As I was praying about what God would have me share with you this morning, I came upon this, or God gave me this passage of scripture, and I'm like, really, God, are you sure this is what you want me to talk about? And God said, not audibly, but in my heart, God was saying, yes, this is what I want you to talk about. So I'm like, okay, well, this is going to be hard to find a picture that kind of depicts the ideas of the things that we're going to be talking about this morning. And I'll explain why. First, let me say the hashtag is obviously Pretzel Love, Awkward Family. I encourage you guys to tweet some stuff out and put it on Facebook, that kind of thing, because we want people to know what we're talking about here at Remnant. And plus, some of your tweets might be a little scandalous this morning, and so, you know, it could get a little extra attention on social media. Who knows? But pretzel love. Okay, so what do I mean by pretzel love? Because God has this standard of love, right? God has this love that He desires for us to have and to experience, okay? And so pretzel love is kind of our own twisted version of that love, and so I've defined it here for you guys. By saying we've adopted a twist on God's standard for love that's characterized by impulsive encounters with sexually stimulating media and relationships. Okay, so now a lot of you are cluing in as to what we're going to be talking about this morning. It just got awkward in here, didn't it? That's good. It's awkward family and we're one big family. You know, some of the most awkward moments are those birds and the bees talks, right? Maybe you can think back to that moment, or maybe you've completely blacked it out of your memory and suppressed it and never to be returned to. But I want to revisit that, not necessarily that conversation, but that certainly that topic. And so this morning we are going to be talking about some fun stuff. We have a series that's on our website. And so we did a series a couple years back. It was at least a couple years back, right, Jerry? I'm going to put a picture up here for you. So when you go on the website and you see this picture, you're going to click on it. That's the link to this series that we did. We called the series, You Can't Say That in Church. Okay? And then in parentheses down there at the bottom, you know, we said what we were going to be talking about. But it's like the big no-no to talk about sex in church. And so this isn't going to be like, you know, anything more than PG this morning. But... It's a topic that we need to talk about. It's a topic that God requires us to talk about because God gave us so much information about this subject and how to govern ourselves when it comes to this topic. So the reason I have this this sermon series on the screen for you, because I really want you, I encourage you, to go and listen to some of these messages that we have online. Because we spent an entire, 6 or 8 weeks talking about this subject and giving you some really, really good stuff that we all need to know. And it was all stuff from the Bible. It wasn't like self-help stuff or just good ideas and suggestions that we came up with. No, it was God's truth from his word. And so it certainly would not be a waste of your time. And I think it would be great for any person in this audience to go and listen to some of these messages. You can't say that in church. We kind of had a little bit of fun with the idea that we were actually talking about that topic. But I think that God really gave us some good stuff during those few weeks. And it was also kind of a chaotic time, because we realized that during this time where when you begin to talk about sexuality, stuff starts to happen. And let me explain that. You become a little more aware or sensitive, because you're beginning to understand kind of what God's expectations are for you. And so all of a sudden, temptation and the things that maybe didn't hit you quite the same way before, all of a sudden, it's like those things kind of put the pressure on. It's like you try to live right and you try to do the things God wants you to do. And of course, the enemy does not want you doing that. And so the enemy is going to throw things in your path. And so this morning, as we look at a passage of scripture, I want to first of all invite you just to jump into this passage with me and just take all of what God has for you this morning. But then I also want to warn you that once God begins to work in your heart about these types of things, the enemy is going to kind of want to undo what God does, okay? Satan is not going to be pleased if you are someone who is obedient to God when it comes to your sexuality, okay? Satan's not going to be pleased with that, because Satan's mission here is to steal, kill, and to destroy, right? And so anything that God says is perfect and holy, Satan wants to twist that and make it into something dirty and weird. And when things get out of order and out of place, that's exactly what happens. And so that's why we're talking about this and calling it pretzel love, because I didn't want just my title to be sex, because that would have been kind of weird. What might have got a lot of hits on Facebook, but I think that it kind of reminds us, and maybe it'll be kind of a picture for you, a mental picture that can remind you when God's standard of love is twisted and just kind of folded in on itself, it just doesn't turn out the way it's supposed to be. Now, I know pretzels are delicious, right? Salty, perfect, you know, I love pretzels myself. But the idea that we can take something that God has made and God has designed for us and to just kind of twist it up and kind of give it our own little, style or our own little flavor, or our own little whatever it is. I mean, we always want to add to what God's doing and kind of, you know, selfishly insert ourselves in there. And when we do that, I think we end up in trouble. So let's look at this passage before too much time passes. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 8. That's where we're going to be this morning. So let me read this for you, and then we'll pray, and then we'll just kind of sit in this passage for a while this morning. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 8. Says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like those who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we look at this passage, I would ask, first of all, God, that your Spirit would speak to our hearts and to our minds. God, we sometimes like to take this life that is spiritual, and we like to just try to separate out physical elements and say, this is this belongs in the physical realm and this belongs in the spiritual realm, Father, but we know that because we are spirits, God, everything is spiritual. And so, God, we consider everything you've given us, everything about our bodies, God, just in its entirety, God, we know that its purpose is to please and to honor you. And so this morning, God, we ask that you would open our eyes to what you have for us. God, help us to have a better understanding of what your standard of love is and what it looks like in our lives. And help us not to twist that. Help us not to give it our own interpretation, Father, or just ignore it, God. I pray that instead we would be people that would just soak up what you have for us this morning, God, and that our lives would be lived differently because of what you show us. Thanks, God. We love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I mentioned just now when I was praying, God was kind of giving me some thoughts, and we like to take different parts of our lives and kind of compartmentalize them, and so we think of our finances, you know, that part of our life, financial responsibilities. We don't think of that necessarily as being like a spiritual thing, but God says so much about money in his word, and so that is a very spiritual topic because God says that your heart is where your treasure is, and so money has a major effect on our lives, and I think we do the same thing with our sexuality. We kind of want to just compartmentalize that and be like, okay, this is a part of my life, but it's separate from my spiritual life, and God is saying, no, it's not. There's really no part of your life that's not spiritual, okay? And I think the more you understand that and the more you're able to grasp a hold of that thought and that idea, that everything about your life is spiritual, okay? We're spiritual people. God has created us. And we've been created as spirits, and our spirits are going to live on forever. Everybody's going to live forever. It just depends on where you're going to live, okay? You're either going to live in eternity with God forever, or you're going to be separated from God for eternity. But your soul is not going to die. Your spirit is going to live on. And so this physical life is just this tiny grain of sand on the beach of eternity. And so the fact that we spend time here, and this is where we are in the moment. This is, you know, the current, the present time, okay? That doesn't change anything about who we are and about our spiritual nature, okay? So I want you to understand that, first off, that we are spiritual people. And so everything about our lives is spiritual. And for that reason, everything about our lives, God has something to say about it, okay? So there's no area of our life that's untouched by God's word and by God's instruction. Okay? Can we all agree with that? Because if we can't start with that basis, that foundation, then what we're about to talk about is probably not something that's going to sink into your heart until you recognize that everything about us is spiritual. And so God has something for us here. So the first thing that I want you to notice in this passage, so the first thing, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. This is the first thing that I think God is sharing with us this morning. Is this. It is God's plan for you to be sexually pure. It is God's plan for your life for you to be sexually pure. Okay? Look what it says in verse 3. It says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. This word sanctified means set apart. Okay? It means set apart for a specific purpose. I have a cell phone, and this week at camp, we were camping out at the campground, my phone was just going crazy. It wasn't cooperating, and I was so frustrated with it. And I wanted to just take my phone and just toss it into the lake. You ever felt that way? Me and my smartphone, we have this love-hate relationship, right? I mean, I want to use it for communication, but when I try to use it for something else or the moment when I really need it, it's not working properly, and I get so frustrated with it. And if it wasn't my only device and it wasn't so expensive, I mean, I literally would just chuck that thing into the highway at times. I get frustrated with it. And one of the things that's frustrating for me is I'm not a person that downloads apps, okay? I don't download games, anything that's like extra on my phone, I don't do that. Matter of fact, the first thing I do when I get a phone is I look for any games on it and I uninstall all that garbage. okay? For me, it's garbage. Maybe for you, it's like treasure. You're like, yeah, it has a game on it, right? But for me, I'm just like, no, because I understand that my phone, I really want it for one purpose. I want it for communication, okay? And if I want to play games, I'm going to sit on the floor in my son's bedroom, right? And we're going to play a game there, okay? If I want to read something, I'm going to pick up a book, okay? I'm not going to download, something to read on my phone. So, okay, that's just me, okay? I don't know what you do with your phone, but for me, I like to just have it kind of for that one person, for communication, okay? And the thing is that we are designed for one purpose, okay? We have one purpose that God has designed us for, and that is to bring God honor, okay? That's the purpose that we are here on earth for. God has sanctified us. He has set us apart for a specific purpose. And just like my cell phone, I discover when I try to use it for all this other stuff, it starts to get bogged down and it starts to not work properly. And just the basic functions that it was designed for, it has trouble doing. And the same can be said for us. Just the basic functions that God has designed us for get confused and get bogged down because we have all these other things that we're trying to do that we were not designed to do, or things that we want to be involved with that God has not intended for us to be involved with. And so God, right up front in this passage, says to us, it is my will that you should be sanctified or set apart. And then he gets specific and he says that you should avoid sexual immorality. You should avoid sexual immorality. Let's talk about that just for a moment. Because I think if we're going to be talking about sexual immorality, then we should probably have like a standard definition here for us so we can kind of all be on the same page. Okay? And I don't have this on the screen for you, but my definition of sexual immorality, and that's just from what I know about God's word and the things that that I've read and that he's shown me, is anything, any kind of sexual activity, which would be thought or action outside of God's plan for marriage between man and wife, anything that's outside of that is sexual immorality, okay? And I want that to be our definition up front so that you guys have an understanding of what I'm talking about, okay? So anything that's outside of what God has designed for our sexuality. And it's well defined in the Bible. It's really not confusing at all, but it becomes confusing because everybody kind of has their own interpretation of it. And so everybody will, you know, read that and they'll say, okay, well, maybe God meant it this way or meant it that way. And so they kind of have to do the pretzel thing. That's why we're talking about pretzel love, because sometimes we have to just twist things around to where they make sense for us instead of accepting them and saying, yeah, that's God's standard is pretty straightforward. And it doesn't need to be adjusted. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 through 20 says this. You say food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. And here's a reference to the fact that this existence in the physical is very temporary, okay? But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. In other words, you can't say that our bodies were made to do and experience sexual things outside of God's planned context of marriage. Okay? They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. Here's the thing. God cares about your body more than you do. God cares about your body way more than you do, and way more than you ever could. We don't take good care of our bodies because they're ours, right? And we're just like, yeah, I can do what I want. It's my body. It's, you know, it's mine to use. It's mine to do stuff with. And so we just kind of have this mentality that we can do what we want with it. When the reality is, God is saying, you know what? I care so much about your body because I created it. And in fact, I created your body and then I said, here you go. You can use it. I'm going to loan it to you for about 75 years. 85, 95, you know, it depends. It's different for each one of us, right? But God basically says, okay, this body is a gift to you, and I want you to use it. I want you to take good care of it because it's my property. And I think that's healthy for us to understand that Because when we get this idea that we're ownership is God's, it's kind of like this. And hopefully you don't do this, but when I rent a car, I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to be returning this bad boy in a couple days. And so, you know what? Yeah, let's floor it. Yeah, let's floor it. Let's take a couple sharp turns. Let's, you know, press on the brake a little harder than I would in my own car. Okay, that's like this car rental mentality, okay? And I don't want us to have that mentality when it comes to the bodies that we have, but a lot of us are kind of, you know, it's like the YOLO life, right? Okay, it's like, I got this car for 2 days, and I'm just going to get every penny out of this bad boy, okay? And that's not the mentality that God wants us to have when it comes to these bodies that he's given us. And that's why he set some rules for us, some guidelines for us, so that we can responsibly take care of his property. Does that make sense? Ephesians 5, verse 3 says, among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. So this is improper use of God's property that he's given to you. Okay? You know, it says there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Let me just say straight up front, okay, it is almost impossible to go through a day without experiencing a hint of sexuality, okay? Unless you can't see and you can't hear, it's almost impossible. Now we don't have cable TV at our house. We never have. Actually, that's not true. We had cable TV for like 6 months when we first got married, and we were just like, "What are we doing? This is just, man, the worst thing we've ever done." And so we canceled it, got rid of it. We have not had it. Okay. So how long have we been married? 17 years. 18? Oh, Debbie's not here. Where's Debbie? suddenly noticed his wife is missing. Pregnant wife. What's going on here? But a long time, okay, that we haven't had that, okay? Well, we'll go and visit people. We'll go and visit my in-laws, Debbie's parents, and we'll go and we'll hang out there. And they've got like 7 TVs, and they're always on. Okay, it's like in every room. It's like one of the first things I do when I go to the house, I go around turning TVs off. I'm like, no one's in this room. We don't need that on. No, oh, wait, Discovery Channel. I wait a little while, you know. But so I'll watch something on TV and, you know, something fairly innocent. But I'll be like 5 minutes into whatever I'm watching, and all of a sudden there's something that's sexually stimulating on the screen, whether it's an advertisement or whether it's part of the program that I'm watching. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. And you just become desensitized to that because you see it so often and it happens so much that you just stop noticing it. And you're just like, you know, it's there, but it's just, it doesn't faze me anymore. And I think there's something wrong with us when that doesn't faze us anymore. It's kind of like violence in movies too. You go to see them, you know, I've done this so many times. I recommend a movie to somebody. I'm like, oh man, you gotta see this movie, it's good. You know? And then they go see it and they're like, yeah, you're right, that was a great movie. Then I see it again later. And I'm like, oh, crud. I told someone to go see that movie. I forgot about that scene. I forgot that was in that movie. And wow, man, it's like I recommended someone to sit and watch this, you know, 3 minutes of garbage in the middle of, you know, an okay movie. Like, why did I do that? Because in a way, I'm desensitized to some of those things. And how do we become desensitized to those things? How does that happen to us? How do we change to where those things don't bother us? I think it's because we don't spend as much time with God, the one who sets the standard for us. And the less time we spend with him and the more time we spend with those things, the less sensitive we are to those things. It happens. That's why I say this. God's desire for each of us is that our sexuality be appropriately expressed within the context of marriage. Anything beyond that is outside of God's plan for us. Okay, now I want you to understand something here, because God's plan for you, okay, God's design is for you to be happy, okay? For you to have peace, for you to be healthy, all those things, okay? That's like God's original plan. When God created this earth and he created this Garden of Eden that was the paradise at the very beginning, God's plan was that everything would be perfect. And then what happens? Man decides, you know, I think I can make it better. I think I could maybe operate a little bit better than God and try a little different thing, you know, thing here that God said not to do. And so from that moment on, it's like we as a human race have just invited calamity into our lives, okay? And so that for that reason, you're affected not only by your sin, but by the sins of other people. Okay? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you are suffering the consequences of someone else's mistake? You know what I'm talking about? Someone else made a bad decision, and you are reaping the consequences for someone else's mistake. That's sin. That's sin nature. It's a part of our world. It's a part of who we are. It's part of our existence. But God's plan for us, God's design, his plan for us hasn't changed. We've just added this element of sin. God still wants us to be holy, to be perfect, to experience joy and peace and all those things. Okay, that's still God's plan. And you know what? God is actually saying that that plan is still available. You're just going to have to work a little harder to get to it. Okay? Are you guys tracking with me? Is this making sense? Okay, so God still wants us to experience life the way he intended it, but we have to work a little harder because we have obstacles now. We have sin in our lives, and sin is destructive. It's terrible, but it's also appealing, and at times it's fun because we enjoy it for a moment. The Bible says you enjoy sin for a season, and then after that, you face the consequences. Second thing that I want you to take with you this morning, I think God is showing us in this passage, is that sexual purity is a learning process. Sexual purity is a learning process. Look at verses 4 and 5. It says that each of you should learn to control your body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like those who do not know God. Jerry, underline that word learn for us. Learn. Okay. So why would God say, instead of just saying that each of you should control your own body? Because God knows that when it comes to our sexuality, there's a learning curve, okay? In other words, none of us have it right, okay? There's always things that, it's like a process, an ongoing process in our life. And like anything God is doing in your life, there's a process involved. And this is no exception. Galatians 5:16-17. Paul says this, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." So Paul is telling the Galatians, he's saying, there's actually a way, a method, okay, where you can do these things that God's asking you to do. You can have control over your body. And he says, the secret to having control over your body is to relinquish control to God's Spirit. To relinquish control to the Holy Spirit. So allow God to have control of your body. It also takes a lot of responsibility off your shoulders. Because if we understand that we don't have the ability to control ourselves the way God wants us to, we can be frustrated because we can't do the things that God's asking us to do. And so God is saying, instead of trying to do it on our own strength and on our own ability, God is saying, hand that over to me. Let me take control. And I think this is going to turn out much better. Paul goes on and says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. So there's a struggle, an epic struggle in your soul and in your body, I might add, where good and evil is facing off, okay? What God intends for you that is perfect and is good and is right and is healthy for you, and what you want, and many times what the world is saying to do to find happiness or pleasure. And those things are constantly a battle. This is why this is a process. Do you understand that if we didn't have the effects of sin in our lives, there would be no process, okay? Because we'd be perfect. We'd have it down. We wouldn't have to worry about it. But the truth is, we don't have it down. That's why I say this. When it comes to sexual purity, none of us have arrived. It's a constant work in progress. Okay, and I'm going to be completely honest with you about that because it would be real easy for me to come up here as one of your pastors and be like, you know what? Sexual purity, I got it under control. I got this, right? But the truth is, I'm tempted just like you are. On a regular basis, there's temptation that comes into my path. And I have to make a choice almost daily. Am I going to do what honors God? Or am I going to do what's pleasing to myself? So I have to make those decisions. Do you make those decisions too? Yeah, we all make those choices. Okay, when it comes to this matter of being sexually pure, there's none of us that's perfect. There's none of us that has it all together, that has it down. Okay, so there's a process, a learning process that God is working in us. And it's a lot of work. It's hard. It's not easy. And I would like to say as a guy that maybe it's harder for guys than it is for girls, but I don't think that's true. Okay? But I'm not a girl, so I can't say that. But I do know that for guys, it is incredibly hard to remain sexually pure. And I'm not necessarily talking about actions, okay? I'm talking about thoughts for the most part. Because it is so hard for me to make my way through life and to not see things that are sexually arousing. That's hard to do. And if you're completely honest with me this morning, then I think you would agree with me and you would say the same thing. And I've had at least a dozen conversations with guys in this building right now that would agree and say, yes, that's exactly what I struggle with. Those are the things that can really get me down. So how do we conquer this thing? How do we combat this? How do we battle this? And the answer is that we cannot be the ones that are fighting this battle. We can't be the ones fighting this battle. We have to surrender this battle to God and say, God, okay, your standard for me is to be sexually pure. Your standard for me is to be to avoid sexual immorality. But I can't do that because the opposite sex is just too attractive and there's just too much weird stuff going on in my head and I'm being bombarded all the time with these messages. I just can't do it, God. And so I need you, I need your Holy Spirit to guide me through, to just kind of walk me through this life. And you know what I love about God? He doesn't leave us alone to battle these things, okay? I mean, imagine this. Imagine for the first time you're going to do something crazy like skydiving, okay? And so you get all psyched up for this. You get all the instructions, you know. They give you stuff that you want to read, right? And they kind of talk you through, here's how it's going to go, okay? And so the day finally comes, and you're up in the airplane, okay, at however high they skydive from. What? 30,000? What? 13,000? I thought you said 30,000. I'm like, whoa, oxygen's a little thin up there. Okay, so you're up at this, I mean, 13,000 feet. You got no business being there, okay, outside of an airplane. All right. And so you get to that place, and you look around, and all of a sudden, there's no instructor. There's no one there to tell you what step to take next. Can you imagine this? Matter of fact, the pilot's no longer in the plane. They're like, what's going on? I've been abandoned here. And you're just like, I guess I just got to do this on my own. Look, God's plan for you is that you would never experience that in this life, okay? God is not going to set you up for failure in that way, okay? God is going to walk with you right through those moments. And when you get to that place where it gets scary and you're at this crazy altitude and you don't really even know what's going to happen, God is going to be right there with you. But you have to acknowledge his presence. You have to surrender some areas of your life to him in order to experience his company through that. Otherwise, you're on your own, sucker. That's not a good place to be. And when it comes to something as dangerous as this this topic. That's not a good place to be. Check out what Paul says in Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 14. He says, "So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living." When we were camping, I sat by the campfire for hours on end, okay? I mean, campfire is beautiful, right? The flickering flames. I love being there in front of the campfire. And then I would walk away from the campfire, and I would go to my tent, and I'd be like, I still smell that campfire. Matter of fact, if I close my eyes, yep, I'm still in front of the campfire, you know, because my clothes had just kind of soaked that up. And so I made the mistake of, I was wearing some jeans that I sat by the campfire with, and I wrapped those jeans up, and I stuck them in my bag with my clean clothes. Ooh, nah. Not a good idea. So I'm like wearing these clothes the next couple days. I'm like, man, people think I just got rescued from a fire or something. You know, I had this odor about me. And we don't like the idea of being wearing soiled clothing, okay? That's kind of repulsive to us. We're like, you know what? I want to change. When someone comes over, I mean, and you're dressed in a way that you don't want someone to see you, right? I mean, do you answer the door right away or do you run and put something on that looks a little decent, right? I mean, the truth is we have this desire to be more presentable, okay? And this is what God's talking about. He's saying, yeah, I want you to be presentable to me. And so those things that are dirty, those things that are filthy, those things that smell, I want you to get rid of those things. I want you to take them off. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living. Instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because here's the deal. If you're going to live in the presence of Jesus, you can't live in the presence of sexual immorality. You've got to make a choice here. I'm going to either live in the presence of Jesus or I'm going to enjoy these things that God has asked me to abstain from or to stay far away from. It says, instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus. That's what God's talking about when he's saying, make yourself presentable. He's saying, I've got some brand new clothes on you that don't stink. They're clean, and they're bright, and they're just what you need. Let's look at verse 6. Verse 6 from our passage, it says, in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. Okay, so I get to this verse, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait a second here. So what is happening here? So God's been talking about us abstaining from sexual immorality. He's talking about us living pure lives. And then he says, in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The truth is that we, whether we do it on purpose or whether we do it unknowingly, we take advantage of each other when it comes to this matter. In other words, it's so easy for you to trip someone else up in this matter of being sexually pure. It's way too easy. And I don't want to, you know, point all the fingers at the ladies because that doesn't sound fair, but I'm a guy. So it's like the things that I see when women dress a certain way, you know, for them maybe it's just like, you know, I think this looks cute and I think this is stylish. And I know there are cute things and stylish things that probably would not turn me on, but for some reason, all the styles and all the cuteness and all that stuff, it's like it's designed to do that. It's designed to excite guys sexually. That's the intention of it, okay? And I understand that ladies, when you go shopping, it's like you gotta like work a little harder because you want to find things that are appropriate and are not gonna do those things. But I think that there are other times where you make mistakes and you do choose things that just like it says here in this passage, they wrong or take advantage of a brother or a sister. Guys, we're guilty of this too. We're guilty of this too. Because we know what to do and what to say and how to touch another person to stimulate them sexually. I mean, I'm just being honest with you this morning, right? I mean, we know. So there are things that we can do in our lives. There are standards that we can adopt, okay? There are standards that we can set in our lives so that we won't cross the line when it comes to that. And why is that? Why do we not? I mean, think about it. If it was just us thinking of the other person and like, you know, I want to be nice and not put them in that position. If that was the only reason, I don't think it would be a strong enough reason. I really don't think it would be. Because we're like, you know, I want to look good. I want to look good. And, you know, who cares if it's going to trip someone else up, right? It's not about them anyway, right? But then God goes on in this verse and says, the Lord will punish all those who commit such sins as we told you and warned you before. Now, God doesn't go into some details here and doesn't say what that punishment would look like. But I believe there are some pretty grave consequences when we toy around with what God has told us not to do. I think that when we start to dabble into the things that God has said, hey, that's not cool, that's not good for you, then there are consequences. It's like we invite harm into our lives. We invite situations into our lives. We invite people into our lives that are not good for us and that are unhealthy for us. And I'm saying this and I'm looking at your faces and some of you look a little bit uncomfortable, and I know why you feel uncomfortable. Because you're thinking back into your past a little bit and you're saying to yourself, you know what? I have experienced some of those consequences of making some dumb choices, some dumb decisions. And you know, we could chalk it all off as mistakes and just be like, you know what? Yeah, everybody makes mistakes. We all screw up. Okay, let's get up, dust ourselves off, and move on. Problem is, when it comes to this area of being sexually immoral, when it comes to this area of making mistakes in our sexuality, it kind of just sticks with us. It kind of just, it not only affects us physically in some ways, but it affects us emotionally in some ways. It affects our reputation. It's like we have all these things that just kind of attach ourselves to this kind of behavior. And God knows that those things are not good for you. And God knows what's down the road. And that's why he says, I honestly believe that the punishment that God's talking about, the consequences that God's talking about, are all the things that we bring upon ourselves when we don't follow God's rules for how to govern our sexuality. I think that we have some major trouble waiting for us down the road. That's why I say this. The third point that I want you to write down, the third thing. Your sexual sin affects others. Your sexual sin affects others. And again, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I think if you're honest, you would say, yes. Yeah, I have in some way been affected by someone else's sexual sin. I've been affected by someone else who's messed up in this manner. Okay? Can we be honest about that with ourselves at least and say, yeah, someone else has made some mistakes in this area and I've suffered from it. And now I want you to turn the tables a little bit and say to yourself or ask yourself, have I made some mistakes in this area and are my mistakes affecting someone else? And I think the answer is yes. See, we get in this idea in our mind and it's so deceptive. It's so convincing and deceiving. We get this idea in our mind that if we do something sexual that's offensive to God, that it's only going to affect me. And we might even say that, I'm only hurting myself. Even if it's something that we do in private that no one else is going to find out, or we don't think anybody else is going to find out about. We think this is only affecting me, and it's just It's my deal. It's my problem. It's my issue. But that's not true. Because what you do in secret affects the way you treat people in public. You may not realize that. There's an entire science around what happens to your mind in the way you treat the opposite sex and the way you treat others that's based off of the way you are when you're by yourself and the things that you allow yourself to do when you're alone. And that's textbook stuff. That's not even from God's word, but I do know that our sexual sin affects other people. It doesn't just affect ourselves. It's a big deal. That's why I say this. There's always consequences for sexual impurity. Someone always pays the price, and it's rarely just the offender. Someone always pays the price for sexual sin. Okay, this is getting a little heavy in here, right? It's like this pretzel love, man. It's like, dude, the picture was fun and funny, and you just had to, like, I don't know, make it all awkward. It's our series, Awkward Family, right? I want you guys to feel a little bit awkward this morning. But the reason you feel awkward is because God is saying there are things that need to be adjusted in your life. And so when you feel awkward about that, it's not just embarrassment, it's conviction. It's God saying, okay, there's something I need to fix. And understand this, okay? I don't want you to be misled at all. Understand that we are all in the same boat, okay? We're all in the same boat, from myself, every single person in this room, okay? So I don't want you to be like, you know what? He's pointing fingers at me. He's talking about me. He knows something that I did. I don't know anything. Ask my wife. I'm like the most clueless person on earth, right? But I do know this. I know the truth from God's word. And I understand that God speaks directly to our hearts. And when God speaks to your heart, something happens. You're faced with a choice. And your choice is, I can either listen to what God's saying and accept it and go along with it and agree with it and say, God, I believe your plan is right and it's good and it's what I need. Or I can say, you know what, God? I don't think you know what you're talking about. It makes me feel uncomfortable and I'm just going to dismiss it. But let's be honest. I mean, would you rather have someone who knows everything about your life guiding it, or would you rather have you, whose vision is limited? You can't see what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't understand all the purposes for the things that happened yesterday, but God does. God knows everything about you. Don't you think you could trust him with this area of your life? If he knows everything, he's all powerful, he's all knowing, don't you think you can lean into him when it comes to this and say, God, you know what? I think you have something here. I think you know what you're talking about. And I'm going to begin to make adjustments to my life so that my life begins to line up more with your word. And you know why we're talking about this morning? It's not like, you know, I woke up this morning, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to talk about sex and make everybody feel weird. Yeah, that'll go over really well. No, it's because during the week, God just slowly began to say, hey, Jeremiah, I think you need to talk to the people of Remnant about this. And I was a little bit resistant at first. And I'm like, you know what? That makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't like standing up here and talking about. I mean, but the truth is, why do I feel uncomfortable? Because all of a sudden I have to take my life and I have to set my life up against the standard that God sets. And I begin to see the imperfections. And I begin to see the things that I need to fix and that I need to adjust in my life. And all of a sudden I'm like, wow. Yeah, I needed to hear this as much as any other person in this room. Because like I said before, none of us have it together when it comes to this. None of us have it together. I said at the beginning to go online, listen to our series. I challenge you to do that. Take some time this week to listen to some of those messages from You Can't Say That in Church. And just kind of let God just kind of wash over you a little bit with some of these things. And just, you know, you'll be alone when you listen to it. So it won't be quite as awkward as having like someone you're related to sitting next to you. You know, that's just weird. You know, someone's talking about sex and you're like, my mom's sitting here. This is creepy. Your sexual sin affects others. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 21 says, and this is Paul talking to a church that he had started And he left, and then he started hearing a little bit of things about them, and he's going to be going back to them, and look what he says here. He says, I'm afraid that when I come again, God will humble me in your presence. Now, he says humble me because he was bragging on them a little bit, and he's like, but I do have this fear that when I come back, God's going to humble me a little bit, and I'll be grieved because many of you have not given up your old sins. You've not repented of your impurity, sexual immorality, and eagerness for lustful pleasure, because Paul understood something. He understood that this is a battle that every person faces. And if you say you don't face this battle, you're probably lying about a lot of other stuff too. Because the truth is, every single one of us struggles in this area. And that's why God says it's a process, it's a learning process. It's something that God wants to develop in us. There's character that he needs to develop in us. And it's not just about us, it's about the people that we relate to. It's about making us someone that can function in a healthy way within our families and amongst our friends and the people that we interact with. Because if we can commit this area of our life to God, God is going to bless us in relationships in our lives. I honestly believe that. I honestly believe that if you're honoring to God in this area of your life, God is going to give you sweet relationships. And we're built for community. We're designed for relationship. And if we want something, if there's any area of our life that we want God to bless, I think it's in this area of how we relate to others. Because let's be honest, in your typical day, if you get upset, if you get mad, what is it that upsets you? Is it your car? It might be. Yeah. Is it your phone? Yeah, for me, every day, right? But usually it's another person, right? There's like a person, someone comes along and says something that you don't like. Someone does something. You find out about something that someone did or something someone said. And it's like your day is disrupted by interactions with other people that have a negative influence on you. And I firmly believe that if we're people of God that are trusting this area of our life to us, that those other things, those other areas of relationships, that God is going to begin to work all those things out. I believe that. I believe that God's presence in your life, when you're honoring God with his presence in your life, that it affects every area of your life. Every area of your life. And I would like to say to you, test it and try it out and tell me if that's not true. Because I believe that that's what happens when you begin to trust God with these things. 1 Corinthians 5:9. Paul says, when I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. Okay, so this is a tough verse for some of us. Because for some of us, we have friends, we know people, we hang out with people that are just kind of sexually charged. It's like, you know, a part of their life and a part of who they are, and they're just like, they kind of flaunt it, right? We have people like that in our lives. We have people that when we're around them, we start to kind of be like that too a little bit. We start to kind of attract some of those characteristics, some of those traits kind of begin to rub off on us, right? And that's why God says, don't spend time with those people. If there's someone in your life that's giving you difficulty in this area, okay? If there's someone in your life that you hang out with or that you spend time with who is in some way tempting you sexually or in some way is encouraging you to make poor decisions sexually, God is saying, you know what? It's time to say goodbye, or at least see you later. It's time for you to put some distance between you and that negative influence in your life. Because let's be honest, we're talking about consequences, right? Do you really want to experience the consequences of someone else's sin when at that moment you could have said, you know what, I'm going to take a step back and avoid some consequences down the road here? And I think that's wise. I think that's smart for us, but I also think that's difficult because it always seems like those people that have that negative influence on us when it comes to our sexuality, it always seems like those people just kind of position themselves in our lives, especially when we're trying to do things right. I mean, test it this week, okay? Guys, if there's that particular girl, and we're talking to single guys, hopefully, if there's that particular girl who kind of, you know, comes around and just kind of like flirts with you and, you know, it's a little bit more than flirting because you're like, you like it too much, right? Okay? Yeah. Try honoring God this week and just saying, God, I'm not going to put myself in that position anymore where I can experience that. Trust me, she's going to probably call you. There's going to be like these encounters in some way. The truth is, Satan does not want us to get this right, okay? And that's just me being honest with you guys. The enemy does not want you to get this area of your life right, okay? Because if this area of your life is messed up, then it affects every other area of your life. So why would Satan want you to get this right? He doesn't. He wants you to screw it up. And because he knows it affects you and it affects other people. Your sin, your sexual sin does not just affect you. It affects others as well. Look again at verse 6. It says, in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. What does that mean for us? It means that maybe there's something I need to change about my own life. And whether it may be that there's certain things that I wear that I need to just consider not wearing those things anymore, or maybe there's certain things that I say or do or ways that I act or you know, it's your life, right? So you know, you can examine your own life and ask yourself this question. What is it about my life that needs to change in order for me to line myself up with God's standard for sexuality? What is it about my life that needs to be adjusted in order for this to make sense for me? What changes do I need to make? How am I offending someone else? How am I affecting somebody else? What do I need to do to stop that, to reverse that? And this is a big deal. If you're a couple in this room, and you know, this is a big deal because you're like, wow, you know what? There are some things, there are some rules, there are some guidelines that I need to establish. And if you're not married, there's certainly some areas that need attention. I don't even have to know anything about you to know that if you're not married and you're a couple, there's stuff you need to work on in this area, okay? I don't have to know anything about you because I know it's a learning process, right? But I know that there's areas, there's things that you need to work on as a couple. There's some standards that need to be set. There's some guidelines. There's some lines that need to be drawn in the sand or seat of the car or, yeah, you name it, right? Something needs our attention there. Here's the thing. This is why it's so important. Because we are held accountable for anything we do to cause someone to sin sexually. That's why it's a big deal. Because we're held accountable for anything that we do to cause someone else to sin sexually. We're held accountable for that. God doesn't miss a thing, okay? I mean, you may be like, man, there's like 7 billion people in the world. You know, how can God pay attention to every single person? Because he's God and he doesn't miss a thing. He sees everything that we do. He hears every thought that you have. He sees what you look at. He hears what you're listening to. He knows your actions, what you touch, what you feel. God knows that better than you know that. Okay? You ever been in a crowd and you're like, who bumped into me? God knows. Yeah, you could think about that all day, and you know, but God already knows. God is completely aware of your surroundings and what's going on in your life. And we are going to be held accountable for anything that we do to offend someone else in this area. Is everybody tracking with me on this? Yeah, we're responsible for that, okay? We're responsible for our own actions. And we're held accountable. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what all God is going to do to make us recognize or to make us pay up when it comes to being held accountable. But I do know I'd rather not experience that when instead I can be experiencing the plan that God does have for my life. Okay? We have a choice here. And let's talk about that choice, okay? Number 4, the last thing. You can write this down if you're still taking notes. Ignoring God's guidelines for sexual purity is dangerous. Ignoring God's guidelines for sexual purity is dangerous. Look what it says in verses 7 and 8. It says, "For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God, who gives us his Holy Spirit." I wonder why he tagged that on at the end. I think I know why. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But anyone who rejects this instruction is not disobeying human teaching. So if everything that I've said, if you walk out of here and you're just like, you know what? I don't know about that stuff. You know, does Jeremiah really know what he's talking about? I mean, come on. He can't possibly know all this stuff, right? And maybe you listen to what I'm saying and you're like, yeah, I don't know. I just need some time to think about it. Here's the thing. Anything that I've said this morning that's been offensive to you, or that you felt like, you know what, I don't want to deal with that right now. This is just not the subject, the topic in my life that I want to touch right now. You're not rejecting what I've said. You're basically saying no to God. You're saying no to God's plan for your life. And I will say this, that at every moment where you encounter God's word, every moment where someone stands up and preaches the word to you, when I stand up here, when Frank stands up here, when Jerry stands up here, when someone that's leading your Bible study opens the Bible, when you're all by yourself having your coffee and you open your Bible and God speaks to you, every single one of us has a choice. At that moment, God is saying, make a choice. You want to know what your choice is? You can do what I'm saying, or you can say no to it. But there's consequences for saying no. It's a dangerous thing to take God's wisdom and just say, you know what? I think I got a better plan. I mean, look at your life. Do you really think your plan's better than God's? Let's just be honest, right? I mean, you look at the mistakes you've made and you're like, you know what? Yeah, I really screwed up. If I would have done it God's way, I wouldn't be in this mess that I find myself in. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're like, you know what? I haven't made major mistakes in this area of my life. Well, good for you. And I would say the only way you can avoid that happening is to go along with God's plan for your life. Look at Psalms 51, verses 3 and 4. I love Psalms 51 because Psalms 51 is the psalm that David wrote when he committed a sexual sin. Okay? He had sex with another man's wife. Okay? Matter of fact, it was worse than that. Not only did he have sex with her, but he also killed the husband to try to hide it, to cover it up. I mean, that's a big deal, right? I mean, you may have made some sexual mistakes in your life, but did you ever kill somebody just to tag that on? You're like, yeah, I messed up, but you know, I might as well kill someone now, right? I mean, I've already gone this far. But I mean, David made some pretty major mistakes. But you know what? When God confronted him with that sin, when God said, "David, you've sinned before me. You've sexually sinned before me, and you've committed all these other sins to cover it up." When God confronted David with those truths, he sat down and he wrote this psalm. I would encourage you to read Psalm 51. It's a great psalm of confession and repentance before God. Look at verses 3 and 4. David says, "For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight." See, here's the thing. David recognized something. He recognized that he didn't just reject human teaching. He was rejecting God when he made that choice. He wasn't just rejecting someone's idea of what was good and what could have been perfect, it could have been better. No, he was rejecting God. He was saying no to God's plan for his life, and he was doing things his own way. And it had some major consequences. See, if we're going to be honoring to God in our sexuality, we must follow his rules. There's no halfway when it comes to sexual purity. There's no halfway when it comes to sexual purity. This is the big deal, guys. I wouldn't take up 45 minutes of your time talking about sex if I didn't think it was a big deal. And to be honest, if you've read anywhere in the Bible, you're going to come across this topic and God's standards are going to be presented to you. You can't avoid them. It's part of God's whole truth that he's given to us in his word. What do we do? So what do we do about this? I said we're all in the same boat, right? We all struggle. We all face the same temptations. What do we do? Colossians 3:5 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. How do you put those things to death here? You need to understand something, that when Jesus died on the cross to forgive you of your sins, the Bible says that your sin was nailed to the cross that he died on. In other words, Jesus died to free you from the power of sin. And the only way you can be free from the power of temptation when it comes to being sexually tempted is to run to Jesus. I love the story in the Old Testament where Joseph is confronted with sexual sin, right? I mean, his boss's wife, who obviously was hot, right? Or the story wouldn't be in the Bible. Wouldn't have been a temptation, right? So she comes to him and she's like, hey, sleep with me. And he's like, you know, I'm sure he had to make a decision. He said to himself, I can sleep with her and enjoy, you know, the next few moments and then go about my business. Or I can do what God tells me to do and avoid that. And what does he decide to do? He gets the heck out of there. Matter of fact, he takes off so fast and she's like trying to hold on to him, right? She like grabs his jacket, right? And he's just like slides out of his jacket. He's like, I'm out of here. You can have my jacket, right? And guess what? He gets busted for it. He didn't even do it and he still got busted for it. She told her husband, hey, he raped me. Here's his jacket. I got proof. He still gets in trouble. What the heck does that mean? Does that mean that I can still do the right thing when it comes to this matter of sexuality and people can still point the finger at me and still accuse me of something? Yeah, that's what that means. That means that anytime you're trying to live right and trying to do what God tells you to do, people are going to point the finger at you. They're going to try to find fault with you. They're going to try to find something wrong. They're going to steal your jacket and they're going to frame you. It's going to happen. But guess what? You know in your heart that you didn't do that. You know in your heart that you're right before God. And let me just say this. It is so, so much better to know in your heart that you did the right thing before God, even when someone doesn't believe you, than to do the wrong thing and to try to cover it up, to try to hide it, to lie about it. I'd rather do the right thing any day and have someone say, accuse me, than to do the wrong thing and live with that guilt of trying to cover it up and hide it. Romans 6, 12 through 13 will end with this passage. It says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, and now you have new life. It all comes back to that moment when you gave your heart to Jesus and you said, God, I want to let go of my past and I want to embrace the future that you have for me. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Everything about you is spiritual. Every aspect of yourself, including your physical qualities, your sexuality, everything is designed to bring God honor. Is this something we can do, Remnant Church? Can we bring honor to God through our sexuality, through the way that we relate to others when it comes to this matter? Is that something we can do? I believe it is. And I also believe this. I believe that if we're intentional about it, and this is something that we work hard at, and this is something that we trust God, and when in those moments when it gets tough, we lean into God a little harder and say, God, I really need your help in this area. And so we begin to make changes in our lives. Maybe small changes at first, but remember, it's a process. I believe that if we're doing that, if we're honoring God, God is going to bless us. God's going to bless us in ways that we never could have imagined. In the way that we relate to each other, in the way that we relate to our spouses, our girlfriends or boyfriends or any relationship in our lives. I believe God is just going to pour out his blessing on those relationships because we're honoring him in this area. And so I would love to say this is my challenge to you, but it's not. This is God's challenge to you. And really, it's not a challenge. God's not daring you to try this. God is saying, you know what? I've got a standard for love. I've got a standard for how to behave sexually. And I want you to live up to that standard. And God understands. He knows that we mess up. He knows that you're not going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. You'll probably make a mistake this afternoon. Okay? But don't let that derail you. Don't let those mistakes define who you are. Don't let those mistakes show you that you can't do it, that you can't make it. But because the truth is, God already understands and he already knows that we're going to do that. And so God wants us to continue to ask for forgiveness, to get back up, and to push forward. And trust me. And don't just trust me, trust God. It sounds narcissistic when I say trust me. Trust God. And know that his plan is way, way better than your plan for your life. I would rather trust God's plan when it comes to this than anybody else's plan. Because what happens? Anything less is just a twisted version. It's that pretzel love. I want to get away from it. I want to step away from that. I don't want there to be any twists in the standard that God set for us. Cool? All right, let's pray.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.